Doing a thing here?
I'm ready.
All right, shiny. Where's the button clicker thingy? Oh, here it is.
Oh, there it is.
All right, magical. Cool. All right. Thank you, everybody, for coming today. Thank you for waking up.
Phil. For staying up.
Thank you, Phil, for waking up. Okay, so this is NuGet. We're going to talk about NuGet. NuGet is a very cool new open source package manager from the Outer Curve Foundation, and Phil manages the Microsoft side of NuGet. I am Scott Hanselman. This is Phil Hack. Please follow us on Twitter.
Just in case you get confused, we have our names above us, so.
That's true. And you're wearing the same shirt, apparently. Totally planned. All right, we're going to talk about NuGet. We're talking about making packages, publishing packages. Try to show you some things you maybe haven't seen yet if you are a NuGet person. And because it's the HaHa show, Phil Hack and Scott Ha, we are going to try to one-up each other with each demo. So each demo will hopefully be progressively less crappy than the last. And then we want you guys to get involved in NuGet. We'll talk about why NuGet is awesome and why you should get involved. So what is the goal? What is the point? Why does NuGet exist? And why are we so stoked about sharing it with you folks? Well, no, that's the wrong slide. We're not trying to take over the world. Darn those Microsoft marketing people. We want .NET open source to be as easy as AdReference. And for commercial companies, we want things that you buy from someone to be as easy as AdReference. You shouldn't have to work hard to get a library onto your system. We want the Lego pieces to snap together cleanly. So what is the problem? Well, let's say that you want... Ooh, action pose. Sorry. The paparazzi. They're just... Oh, such a... What's the problem? Well, incorporating code from others is a pain. If you want to go and get a library, like our favorite library, Elma, what do you have to do? Well, you go first and you Google with Bing to find Elma. And you find it. And you say, well, that probably is right. I got it right in the first try. And then I visit that site. And I have to figure out, well, what do I need to download? Well, that probably looks correct. And I've got a couple of choices on things to download. Which one do I pick? Well, turns out that's the right one. Let's go ahead and get it. I don't know what that is. I will get the zip file, and I'll put the zip file somewhere, and then I'll unzip the zip file, and I'll try to decide where I want to do it. But before I do that, I have to hit properties because it came from the internet, so I have to go and unblock it by pushing that button.
Get rid of the mark of the beast.
Exactly. Don't forget it. Hit OK. Extract it. And then where am I going to put this? Well, there's the place where I extracted it, and then there's where I like to put my folders, whether it's lib or whatever. We all have different places to put references. Then I have to go into Visual Studio, say add reference, find the thing, then go into a web config, add a bunch of stuff that I had to figure out by reading the manual, which we don't do, and then it works. And that's for a single assembly. And what happens when I want to do version 2 where I have 50 of these things? This is a waste of time, and this is what we've been doing for the last several years, and it sucks. So we think we can do much better, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's see some demos.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Phil. It's on now, son.
Okay.
Okay, there's two machines up here. Phil's in mine. Maybe you'll be able to tell which one is which.
Yeah. Here we go. So the first thing I want to show real quickly is how easy it is to get NuGet. If you have Visual Studio 2010, go to Tools, Extension Manager, click the Online Gallery, and then wait a few seconds while we make a request over a slow, leaky internet connection.
I think we have a wire.
Oh, no, that wasn't too bad, actually. Okay. And you notice here that we're on the first page now, and hopefully if you all go download it, we'll move up there so that it's even easier to find. But if we weren't there, you know, you would type in NuGet here to search for it, and then click Download. And download it, install it as an extension to Visual Studio.
It's actually only like 600K, right?
It's really small.
Right, it'll take about an hour on the hotel wireless here.
And the point of showing you this is that, you know, when people hear about a new technology, they think, oh, yeah, sounds great, but I have all this momentum of staying where I am right now. I want to go through all the trouble of, you know, figuring out how to go get it and use it and whatnot. And I just want to show that it's really that easy when you have a fast internet connection at home.
What's going on?
Oh, you know what? It might have...
Is it already done?
It could. It might well be done. Sometimes it, like VS has this thing where it hides things behind the windows, but
it's all you, brother.
Yeah, so that's a great first demo. Why don't we do this? Click close. Let's see if it works. Oh,
see?
See?
Yay! See, that's the progress bar that's like, I have no idea when this is going to be done. Really, good luck with that. It's usually, for me, it's on like my fifth monitor.
It's funny because we've had bug reports. Yeah. Oh, it just hangs on the install, and I was like, look behind.
Because the thing is about NuGet, honestly, it's like 600K, and it's like click, click, install, boom. It's literally like 3 seconds.
Yep. So what I'm going to do now is create an ASP.NET MVC3 application, because that's one of the other things I work on. And if you were at my talk earlier, or pretty much any talk today, yesterday, you would learn that we actually use NuGet behind the scenes to pre-install packages. So when you install ASP.NET MVC3 with the tools update, we're going to install NuGet for you, so you won't even have to do this. Hopefully in the future, it'll become something that's within Visual Studio, and then you won't even need to do this step. But this step is pretty easy and it's quick. So what I'll show you here is what the dialog looks like. So if you right-click on References and click Add Library Reference, that's the third option there, pretty easy to see. It brings up this dialog that looks very similar to the Visual Studio Extension dialog. The difference is that the extension manager adds extensions to Visual Studio, whereas this adds extensions into your project.
And they look similar because they're basically the same code.
Yeah, we just stole their control and built on top of it. So I'll click on the online tab.
And this is using a server that's up at NuGet.org that Phil's going to demo in a little bit. And it's actually talking OData between the two, isn't it?
That's right. So here we have a search bar in the top right, so I can search for... it wouldn't be a NuGet talk without an ELMA demo. And here you notice that on the right side, you can see information about the package before you choose to install it. So this is created by Atif, version 1.1. And this particular one has no dependencies, as Scott mentioned. So I'll go ahead and click Install. And I'll hit Close. And now I can hit Run My Site. And I'll just hit like a couple bad URLs real quick.
And it was subtle, but on that right-hand side, I don't know if you noticed, but that Solution Explorer actually expanded because it's automating that and added that reference automatically. So all of that stuff that we did in those PowerPoint click-throughs happened. It came down, it got added, but also the configuration got updated.
Yeah, so I'll show you that in a sec. So you can see here that ELMA's working. I didn't have to go and do all the steps that Scott showed. And if we look at the solution dialog here, we see that ELMA's referenced. I'll go ahead and zoom in there. ELMA's reference. And if I go to web.config and zoom out, we can see that all the section handlers have been added for us. And this is really easy to write this package, and we'll show you how to write such packages later on in the show. And
hey, but one thing that might be interesting would be actually to leave web.config open and uninstall ELMA.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're changing the script.
Yeah, I'm changing the script. Why not? That's not bad, though. That's kind of an interesting thing. So there's the list of installed packages. And one thing that's interesting to point out is that Phil installed ELMA, but why do you already have 5 or 6 installed?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, the way that MVC3 is including script libraries and other libraries is through NuGet packages. And that way, when there's a new version available, so let me show the updates real quick.
Oh, that's a good idea.
If I click the Updates tab, you can see that there's already an update available for jQuery. So with ASP.NET MVC 2 and 3 before the tools update, what would happen is if when there's a new version of jQuery available, you'd basically have to go and figure out what script files to delete from your project, where to get the new files, and then do it manually. And you didn't really have a good way of knowing that which of the things you're using have updates available. But now that we have this, I can just click Update there, and I've already upgraded jQuery 1.5.2. And the thing is, the jQuery team's releasing monthly. So there's no way that our project templates are going to keep up with jQuery, but now we can, or at least you can with your applications. So I'll go back to installed templates, and I'm going to uninstall ELMA and close this. And Visual Studio is going to tell me, hey, we modified your web.config. And you can see that we're back to the state we were before. So we removed the settings that package installed. I'm going to show one more package before we switch back to you.
You're doing a lovely job.
Thank you. Am I doing okay?
A lot of clicking.
So I'm going to search for Entity Framework.
Can you search for the Northwind database? Is that in there? Too soon?
Too soon, yeah. So So I'll click on entityframework.sqlservercompact. So this is a package written by Microsoft. And the thing to notice here is that this one has dependencies. So when I try to install this package, it's going to install that package as well as all of its dependencies. And when you're creating a package, there's a bit you can set in your manifest. You can say, I want people to explicitly click on the license acceptance. For many open source projects, you know, there's a convention, and you figure, well, everyone knows that if you look in the folder, there's a license.txt, and that's fine. You're implicitly accepting it. But not everyone, Microsoft, believes in the implicit acceptance. So you can click install here, and you'll notice that it's going to bring up the license acceptance dialog, except if you already have accepted the dialog, it won't bring it up. Yeah, that's why it didn't pop up.
When did you accept it earlier?
No, I didn't, because we already installed Entity Framework and SQL Server Compact.
Implicitly?
Yeah. Mm. No, because when you install ASP.MVC, you've accepted the thing.
So we got you early.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So the point is that you can make NuGet dialogs that include your own custom licenses, and then you can actually either pop a dialog, and it'll say, oh, well, you need to read this license, and if you decline it, then we won't install the package.
Yeah. So I'll show an example of that later when I do a blank project.
Okay. So that's cool.
All right. And so real quickly, we can see that after installing that, we now have,
Web Activator and then system.data.sqlserverce.entity.
Yep.
So we brought in a lot of different things.
Yep.
So where is all this coming from?
So where this is coming from is NuGet.org. So this is our gallery site. So there's a front-end website, and there's also a back-end OData service that Scott mentioned. And just in time for Mix, we had a little facelift. And I'd like to give a little kudos to my coworker, Drew. Drew Miller for working tirelessly to get this deployed. And one of the things you can do is once you're here, you can click on the Packages tab, and you can do searches for various packages and find out information about different packages and see the download count and so on. But more importantly, we want to really help make it easy for people to create packages. And so if you sign in to your account or create an account, I'm going to show some sensitive information. So I had to create a fake hacked account because I don't want to give you my real information. But when you click in the My Account, you can get access to an access key here. This is an API access key. And what you'll do later is you'll save this key into NuGet.exe, and you can then, from the command line, create and publish packages. All right, that's all I had to show.
Cool. So that was lovely. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Kudos. A lot of mousey things, a lot of clicking, a lot of windows dragging of knuckles. But real programmers, it's not a real programmer. You're not a real programmer if you're not using grep and awk at least hourly. I would not sully my nails with such a thing as the add library dialog. I, in fact, would use the package manager console. It's way better. Let's go ahead and bring up a new console application.
What is this console you speak of?
Yes. Before you were born.
Basically, that's what Miguel de Gaza looks like when he's doing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It sounds his fingers are so fast, it sounds like cockroaches running up a wall. So I'm in Visual Studio, and then down here is the Package Manager console. So if you've been avoiding PowerShell this long, it's time to stop avoiding it because it's built into Visual Studio. Right here is PowerShell running inside of Visual Studio. So this is a console for NuGet. And this is actually PowerShell in here. You can do any kind of PowerShell-y things, and we'll talk a little bit more about why PowerShell is awesome later. From here, I can see things like my package source, like the official NuGet package source. Multiple projects, I can say, like, well, which project am I worried about in this particular console? So then, if I wanted to go and install some packages, let's say that I wanted to go install tab package jQuery tab. It's going off into the interwebs. jQuery UI, let me see. See, this is interesting because NuGet, rather, is not just for assemblies. It's for JavaScript, it's for configuration things, it's for tools like Glimpse, it's for CSS. So here I could say themes.
There's another interesting thing about that is that if you're familiar with IntelliSense, you get in in C Sharp, for example, you get IntelliSense on static compiled lists of method names or properties, right? Mm-hmm. But you notice he's getting what looks like IntelliSense against a dynamic list of packages in the feed.
Right.
So it's one of the really cool aspects of PowerShell being a dynamic language that we can create that sort of experience where you get tab completion or IntelliSense-like behavior from a completely dynamic list.
Excellent point. So like if we added another jQuery UI theme, then it would show up here.
Yeah, we don't have to recompile the entire OData mm-hmm. feed.
So in this instance here, I said, well, I want to get this theme, but it didn't have jQuery, and it got all the things that it needed to get, all from the command line. I could also go and do things like install like MVC scaffolding, which is Steve Sanderson's wonderful tool. And this one is really interesting because it adds new commands to the console. So here it's going off and grabbing some things. But now I've got a new command like scaffold. Scaffold is, in fact, an alias. Oops. It's alias scaffold for some PowerShell commandlets and PowerShell functions that Steve has included. So here we're seeing that the command line is so ever so much more powerful than the clicking and the windows and the... Okay? But wait, that's not all. I can also go to the DOS. And by the DOS, I mean this is not DOS, right? We threw DOS away years ago, but I like to think that it's DOS. And we'll go in here, and I can run NuGet at the command line.
Cool.
Sweet. And I can say NuGet update, and it will actually update itself. So now I have a newer version of NuGet from the command line.
Wow.
At which point I could say things like NuGet install ninject, go off and get that, and now I've got it.
So what's the difference between the command line and the console and
so the command line doesn't know Visual Studio is running. The command line can't go and add references yet to your CS proj. It can't automate Visual Studio in any way. It's not PowerShell. Mm-hmm. It's DOS command line. But it can bring stuff down, and it can set up directories for me. So maybe in a build server kind of an instance, or if I'm just not digging Visual Studio that day, I just want to do all my work in Notepad.
If you like to use csc.exe, right?
Right, exactly. Well, if you're a real programmer, let me just minimize Visual Studio there for you.
He's getting lead on us. Does being a real programmer mean it takes longer?
You only get one chance on this, people.
This is the part where I try to distract you and make your demo fail. You should please make it work.
He needs this for a birdie. It actually used the assembly info information from the DLL to build a NuGet spec file for me, at which point I can sprinkle it with awesomeness. I can remove or add dependencies. Okay. Then I can come out here and I can say NuGet pack, mm-hmm. which makes me a new package file, which is really just a zip file, but Microsoft likes to change extensions. And then I can go and push it real good up to the NuGet gallery feed from the command line.
Okay. come back to me. That was cute.
If I had a mic, I would drop the mic.
All right. Well, don't applaud yet. We haven't seen if his package works, right? He said he pushed it, but that could have just been a command line fake thing.
It's just a video. I was just moving my hands.
Yeah. So I'm going to build my own package, and I'm going to show a slight alternative way of creating a package that's a little better.
I'm sure it is.
So I'm going to call mine. What did I say I call mine? How about Phil?
I'm not going to give you any help.
Awesome. You called yours.
Take your time. We've got lots of time. It's about 40 minutes.
Oh. Ooh.
I'm sorry. Was there a dialogue box in your way there? Clickety, clickety, clickety.
RD/AirStartUp. Oh.
Yeah, let's select this folder.
Format C colon.
Hold on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't distract you. Please.
Okay, so I'm going to create this here in my little workspace directory. Okay, so this is a class library, and I'm going to have my own little thing here, static class. Phil is awesome-er. Public, static.
Yeah, use that IntelliSense, baby.
I love me some IntelliSense.
Work it.
So public static string, what is the word?
So hip.
Return. Well, you know what? I'd like to use your package because I want to see if it actually works. So I'm going to right-click in this project, or in the references, and do my little dialogue thing because I like it so much. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to search for Scott dot, that should be enough.
Maybe.
Oh, look, it's in the feed.
Actually, so you do that, could you click on Scott again? Just remove that period. And just make sure. I just want to make sure that my face comes up. Thank you. Even in your dialogue box, you can't escape me.
I don't know if there's room up here for me in your head.
I'm watching you, man. Oh.
Okay. So I've installed this package, and let's see, scott.awesome.winning.
Insult the 4-5-head, didn't you, miss?
Yeah, that's right. We'll just use that, and then /r/n, true. I know I should use environment.newline, but I'm lazy.
Yeah, because /r/n could change at any minute. Thank God we have environment.newline to back us up. Wow, I'm glad that's a constant. Dude, did you hear?
Hey, tell Miguel that.
North is south. South is north. Line feed is now a character 13. It's crazy, man. Earth is
you made that a
flipped its magnetic pole, man.
Okay, so I got this. Got my little thing going, and I'm gonna make one more change because I want to show you something. Let's make this exclamation point. I'm gonna save it, but I'm not gonna build it. Instead, I'm gonna open up a command prompt. I can do DOS as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if
can
I can
you do it
find
from your
it,
menu there?
Oh.
I'm sorry. Do you have some? Are you missing some extensions to your user interface? That maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I am.
Yeah.
You told me to uninstall that.
I was like, you should really clean up before the demos. Go ahead and uninstall the power tools.
Touche. Okay, so I'm in. There's my CS prod, right? I have not yet compiled. Nothing up the sleeve. In fact, I'll delve in just to make sure that. Yes.
RD/S also works.
Okay, if you say so. All right, so I don't trust you anymore. NuGet pack fill.awesome.csproj-symbols. So this dash symbols is going to do something interesting. I'm going to hit that. Okay, that's fine. You know what I forgot to do? I forgot to...
Let's not go too fast.
Okay.
We got lots of time. So that's scary because it's yellow.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
So what happened is it's actually using the assembly info of my CS prod to generate a package. You notice I didn't even have to go through the step of generating a spec file here. It's completely using. I have bad aim. There we go. Assembly info, and it's looking in here for information. So it's telling me you should supply a description.
Makes sense.
Now, unfortunately, the CLR was built before NuGet, so there's no attributes for all the other things that we could have in there, like license URL, project URL. But we're begging the CLR team. So if you guys, if we open a bug in Connect, maybe you guys can all vote it.
So you're saying that
that's what we should do.
You're saying that you want to have additional metadata that you could put into your assembly.
Yeah,
that would then feed into the spec file that that I created manually. Okay, very cool.
Okay.
That spec file, that's a manifest that's describing the names, the titles, the ID, the version number, the dependencies, and the things that that your package needs to know.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So you've just made a package from a CS proj.
From a CS proj, and what's great about that is if I use star syntax here, I don't have to keep modifying my new spec file, right? So let's try it again. And you notice there, I don't know if you can see there, but it says fill.awesome.1.0.0.17884. So we're able to build, we're able to keep the version number in sync with the actual package number. So I'm going to just go ahead and call this 1.1 because I don't like that. I like a pretty version number. I'm kind of particular. You can ask the devs on my team. They find that annoying, I think.
All right. You're not annoying.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so create it one more time. So I have two packages here. I have a package that's just the normal package you'd put in the OData feed, but I have another one that has source code and PDB files that can be uploaded to a symbol server. So what's nice, though, is I can do it all in one command, NuGet, push, and let's call it fill.awesome. I'm going to push the right one. There we go. So fill.awesome.1.1.newpkg.
Don't move. Don't move. He pushed the red wire. All right. You ever had that happen when your hand is already headed towards enter and it's like, no?
Thank you, Scott. So now we're pushing both of these packages, one to the NuGet server and one to a symbol server at, I think, symbolserver.org, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
So,
source.
Scott, do you want to try it out?
Okay, so let me make sure I understand this. So you packaged up, you took my DLL from NuGet, you brought it into your application. So it's a reference.
Oh, yeah, let me show you.
I want to make sure
too.
I understand this completely. So you have a library. Go ahead and show me your Solution Explorer. You have a library.
Mm-hmm.
It has a reference to my awesome DLL that you brought down with NuGet.
Mm-hmm.
Then you built from the CS proj your spec file.
Yep.
And that
package file. I never built the spec file.
The spec file never existed.
It never existed.
Okay. But you got what you needed from looking at the CS proj.
Yeah.
Did you know that my project is also a NuGet package?
Yeah. So when you go and install it, you'll find that I didn't actually package up his DLL in my package. It was added automatically added as a reference because it noticed that I had installed this into my project.
Okay. And then you pushed it up with just the DLL, but then you made another package with the PDBs and the source code.
Yep.
And then you pushed that off to another place, our partners at symbolsource.org.
That's right.
Okay. So there's two packages in two places in the world, but they line up because they have the same version.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And I was able to do that with just one command, well, two commands, one to pack and one to push.
Okay. And just out of curiosity, is there a way to look at that package file and, like, prove these things that you're telling to me? Can you, like, maybe open it up?
Sure, sure. So what I can do here is, in this directory, you'll notice here that we have this little NuGet icon there. Because I went to nuget.coplex.com, and I installed this tool called Package Explorer. I'll just show you where you can get it real quick.
Is it graphical? There's probably Windows interface?
Yeah, that's, okay. you know it is. That's why I'm using it, right?
Awesome.
So we can go to you can go to downloads here, and you'll see that we have NuGet Package Explorer 1.0. And when you install that, it's a click once app, so you install it once, and you can always update it.
It automatically updates.
It automatically updates, as well as NuGet.exe does the same thing. And so let's go back here. So there's two ways I can look at it. If I don't have Package Explorer, as Hanselman mentioned, these are just zip files, so I can rename it to .zip and do that. So if you're familiar with Word and Excel, you may have heard of those applications.
Right.
They also have a lot of clicking involved.
Yeah, the docx format is actually a zip file. You can take your Word document, rename it .zip, and open it up.
Yeah, so it's based on a format called OPC, or Open Packaging Conventions, but that's based on zip.
Mm-hmm.
But with Package Explorer, I can open this up, expand the lib file, and you can see that this only contains my DLL.
Zoom in.
So what happened to Scott's awesome DLL?
Ah.
You can see here in the list of dependencies that I'm referencing Scott's DLL.
Well played. I recognize that you depend on me.
So, Scott, why don't you try it out and see
All right,
if it works?
Cool. Very, very interesting. Let's switch back over to this one.
I really like that ringtone.
Yeah, it is.
It's just kind of...
I don't answer the phone. It
makes me feel like I'm in the islands. You know, I got the steel drums.
Okay, so I'm going to make another console app, because it's all about the console today at the web conference in Las Vegas. And you know, I'll just do it from the command line. What did you name yours? Phil? Phil is adequate? What was it? Phil dot... Phil dot mediocre? I'm sorry. Could you... Phil... Dash
dot awesome.
Okay. If you think that's the right one. Install package. So then you brought down Scott.awesome. Okay. So then imagine that we are open source projects and we are all depending on each other, right?
Yep.
So then I'll go and I'll say, you know, let me see, var s equals phil dot awesome dot awesomer. Good grammar, Phil. what is the word? Console.writeline s. And I'll put a breakpoint on that. Okay?
Boom.
And I'm going to hit start. But, you know, actually, before I do that, I want to say that he pushed it to a symbol server. Okay? So let's take a look in the debugging options. And there is a choice here for source server support.
Yep.
Say that three times fast.
Now, not to be confused with the other source server support.
So what is the difference between those things and these things?
Yeah, so one is for the .NET framework itself, and that's pretty darn big, and we wouldn't want to do that over this connection.
It gets its own checkbox.
And this is for ones that you're under your control, I believe.
So a source server is like a symbol server, and a symbol server is a really amazing thing that a lot of enterprises don't take the time to set up, and they really should. The idea is that I'm consuming your DLL. It would be nice if I had the symbols to be able to debug things if something goes wrong. But it would be even more awesome if I could get the source. So here, we took our partners at Symbol Source, and we added that location. And I've got everything going into C colon symbols. So let's go ahead and bring up C colon symbols. And then we'll go Windows 7. And hit F5.
They really ought to add that sound
effect to it in the next version. Yeah, exactly. So I'm sitting on the fill is awesomer, and I'm going to hit F11. And now I am in the source code for Phil's stuff. How did that happen? Now, I know that you didn't applaud, and I know that I paused waiting for your applause. So clearly you did not understand that this is huge. No, no. Please, stop, stop, stop. No, no. Don't embarrass yourselves, you guys, please. So what happened there? What's going on here?
As far as I know, it's pure magic.
Imagine that open source project, that log4net, that nhibernate, that Elma, that you find a bug in. And you just hit F11. And you don't have to go hunting for it and setting up a build environment and stuff like that. You just step into the code. And then you supply a patch, you put a bug fix in or whatever.
Yeah, it just works.
How does it just work?
So what's happening there is that it's downloading those symbols from the other place that we put it, the symbolsource.org.
All right. There's the PDB.
Yep. And then this is the part that I think is magic, is that Visual Studio just hooks it all up.
And this is magic because it's really awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. great directories. So we either have a Russian virus or the source code for the Phyllis Osmer assembly. And it works. That's amazing. That's very cool. So how do we get that? That's out today?
So yeah.
The first time that anyone's ever seen that, you can see instructions at David Ebel's blog, and then Phil will update NuGet.org with all the docs and all the wonderful stuff.
Exactly. So if you have NuGet.exe already, just run NuGet.exe space U for update.
Okay.
And hit run that, and it will update your NuGet.exe to the latest version with support for that.
Okay.
Or you can go to, NuGet.coplex.com and download it from there as well.
Right. And one of the things that's really important to keep emphasizing about this is that, well, you know, NuGet is open source, and you can get involved, and you can get involved in the discussions. All of the discussions are in the open. There's no internal NuGet mailing list. Anytime someone says something internally, Phil says, move it out onto CodePlex. We've got external contributors that are committing code. So if you want to commit code and maybe get that into Visual Studio at some point, definitely get involved. And while we keep saying NuGet and open source and NuGet and open source, if you're a commercial company, maybe think about what you could do with NuGet.yourcompany.com and have a feed so that people can get your products as well. Everything that's on NuGet.org is free, but the idea of package management is more than just an open source thing. And at TechEd this year, I'll be doing a talk called NuGet for the Enterprise to talk about what it means to do things internally with NuGet. Cool. So that was impressive, Phil. I will give you that. I see the usefulness of the graphical interface. But back to my console, which I think is really powerful. How can I make a NuGet package that doesn't just download DLLs, right? I mean, it's like, yay, zip file, we downloaded a DLL. Impress me. Blow me away.
All right. Let's switch back to me. So is everyone here familiar with the concept of the magic 8-ball? So I actually wanted to bring one, but I'm poor and couldn't find one, actually. But it's basically a little like a pool ball, right, or billiards, if you're from the UK, I guess, right? And there's a little triangle, or dodecahedron, or 20-sided die for the D&D folks, right? And you shake the ball, and then it answers your question, right? And it's like, Oh, how am I doing? And it'll say, well, results are hazy, or
exactly.
Stuff
all
like
of
that.
Microsoft's major strategic decisions are made using a magic 8-ball.
Yeah, and I thought, wouldn't it be nice if I could make my decisions straight from Visual Studio? So I wrote a package for doing that, and it basically is a NuGet version of Magic 8-Ball. So I will warn you that I am not a PowerShell expert, so this is how I learned PowerShell, by writing this package. So, cool. Scott, if I do anything wrong, you can let me know, right?
It's okay.
So the first thing I'm going to do is write a file called init.ps1. So when you create a package, we have this convention-based layout for package contents. We have a content folder, a lib folder, which we've shown earlier. And I can show that again, just to reiterate. So we have a lib folder here. And then you can also add...
Zoom in.
Oh, yeah. That is a pretty small font. There's a lib folder.
Almost everything in NuGet is convention rather than configuration.
So you can also...
you have to have a lib folder. You have to have a content folder. These things are standards.
Yeah. And so what we do when we look at the packages, anything in the content folder is added to the root of whatever target project you're installing the package. So you can throw files in there. You could, in fact, package up your whatever library it is as strictly files, much like the jQuery ones. If it's script files, that would make sense. Lib is for things that we will add a project assembly reference to. And then tools are things that we'll actually run. These are PowerShell scripts. And we have three PowerShell scripts that we run by convention, init.ps1, install.ps1, and uninstall.ps1. And I always get these confused, but I think I got it this time. So install.ps1 is run once when the package is installed into the solution. So one thing that we get a lot of confusion about is, if I have five projects and I install this Elma into five different projects, am I copying Elma into five different, the DLL into these five different projects? And what actually happens is we install once into the solution folder, and then for each other time, we just add a reference to the single DLL in the solution folder. So install.ps1 would run at that first installation time. Init.ps1 runs every time the project is open or the first time you install it. And that gives you an opportunity for your PowerShell script to add commands to the console. So I will show you an example of writing one that does that. So we'll just minimize.
Okay, about 20 minutes, we're doing all right.
So I'll use Notepad.
You're not going to use PowerShell Editor?
See? I told you I didn't know.
Just right-click on that thing and say Edit.
Cool.
You know, it's good.
I think I knew that. And then I just need to, how do I set the fonts in?
Control-Scroll? View?
Control?
No, like do you have like a little scrolly wheel? How about do Control plus Add.
Control and then. Plus Add. Oh, yeah, it's working. There we go.
Yay.
Okay, can I make this small?
Okay.
All right, so...
no pressure.
So the first thing that... So the general pattern for creating packages is that your init.ps1, you could write it all in init.ps1, but what we generally do is we write an init.ps1 that takes in the set of parameters that NuGet will pass into your script, and then you import some PowerShell modules. So here's how we declare the parameters to this script.
Why don't you type, and I'm going to talk about why we want to do this.
Okay.
Because sometimes when we see these PowerShell things, you think to yourself, well, why do I care? Right? I mean, PowerShell's great. I don't want to learn PowerShell. But sometimes you want to make a package that's a little bit more sophisticated than brings down a DLL and adds a reference. Might be subtle. For example, you might want to reference something in the GAC. And there were versions of... Does NuGet do that now? Do we have GAC support yet?
Yes, we do.
So before, in early versions of NuGet, we couldn't reference a GAC assembly. So we'd write a one line of project.references.add, and then you'd add that GAC assembly. So that was a reason. But then people were doing that all the time, so then the team said, we'll make that a thing, and then that's not necessary anymore. But with scaffolding, keep typing, man.
I'm done. Well, I'm done with the first part.
Are you with the first part? Okay.
Yeah.
But so like with the example of MVC scaffolding, the package comes down, and we want to add commands, and then those commands will then affect what's going on. I might want to actually change the behavior of my environment.
Okay, so I just want to... This is the init.ps.
So that runs on init.
Yes, that runs on init. And we're importing this module that I have yet to write, magic8ball.psm1.
Okay, cool.
And then, you know, you could have this init import multiple modules, but we're just going to do one. And so now I'll write this magic8ball. And there's a couple things here that... will this open that in?
No. PS1, you're on your own.
Oh, PSM1 is on my own. Okay, let's see if I can just drag that in there. There we go.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do here is... The way magic8ball works is I need a set of answers, and then we'll choose one at random. And so PowerShell being a dynamic language, I can just it has this really nice clean syntax for doing arrays. So I just, let me line that up so it looks nice. Ooh, go faster. Okay. Reply hazy.
I'm putting a private note to Phil here because I'm in charge of time management. Phil, of course. Mouth breather and that he is. Felt him need to say it out loud.
I have no internal voice.
No. How can I let them know? I've got no internal monologue.
Okay.
Yes. keep typing.
Don't worry. This will be quick. So
it's actually not that hard. But the PowerShell stuff is a really important part of NuGet. And the best way to learn this stuff is not to go on a learn PowerShell. Even though this is about a 5-minute part of the demo, and you might remember this as the longest, most incredibly boring part of the demo. I'm just teasing. Don't think of like, oh, and I remember the really boring part. Think about the power, the flexibility of what you're going to be able to do. And the best way is not to go learn PowerShell. It's to go and open up other NuGet packages that you find that do really cool stuff.
Yeah, and that's how I learned how to write this. So real quickly, the important parts of this is that this get-answer, we're following the PowerShell conventions. I've been smacked enough around by PowerShell MVPs to learn not to disobey the conventions.
Mm-hmm.
And here we're piping the array of answers into this getRandom function, which is a core function. And then I'm exporting getAnswer. And this line here is going to add this command into the package manager console. But one thing you saw earlier, we had that tab expansion. So I want to show you how to write that real quick. We have this register tab expansion method. And it's pretty easy. You just specify what function you want to add a tab expansion for. And then you pass in a dictionary. And the names of the dictionary, the keys, are the parameter names. So you see here I have question, which maps to question here. And then I can just specify an array.
So you could go and create these kind of functions to be specific to your project, whether it be scaffolding out things or generating GUIDs or anything you can think of where a developer might want to change what's going on in Visual Studio. So getAnswer then becomes available inside of PowerShell. So I'll be able to type get-a-answer and hit tab, and I'll have it expand. The register tab expansion are those things that happen after getAnswer,
yep.
Potential things that I might want to pass in. Okay.
So anytime, yeah, okay, so you've explained that. So now that I have these two files, it's really easy for me to create an ad hoc package. So we've shown you the command line versions, but as Scott has mentioned before and made fun of me before, I like to click on things. So I'm going to use Package Explorer, which is not just for exploring, but I can also create a package. So I went to the Package Explorer, and if you didn't see that because I forgot to zoom in, File, New. And then I can go to the Edit menu and edit metadata. And I can just go in here and type, what am I going to call this? Magic8ball. We'll call it 1.1. And I'll just leave everything else the way it is. Oops. And I'll scroll down here. And let me zoom out.
All right.
And click OK. Yep. Now, here's a cool part. We have this package contents. And I mentioned earlier, I showed you how you can add those different folders. But for a lot of files, if you just drag them into here, it recognized that this is a PowerShell script and saying it's trying to be helpful. Do you want to put it in the tools folder?
That's cool.
So unlike Clippy, this is actually really helpful.
That is cool. We're falling into the pit of success.
And now I can just save this anywhere. Or I can go to File and Publish. And please don't look at...
Right. Avert your eyes. There's your key. So then publish that. So that's in the sky now.
Yep.
All right. That's cool. So I want to try to run this then. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And do you think it'll work?
Yeah, I think it'll work on the first try.
And you stick the landing, baby. Your reputation, my friend.
I have no reputation.
That's true. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So I would say, look at that. And I just type in magic, and it goes and it makes that query and finds it in the NuGet stuff. Successfully installed. And I can say git command, by the way, and show you all the different commands that are available, one of which, presumably, is git answer. I can type in things here. Do I do a single quote or double quote?
Whatever that did. Actually, I don't think it matters.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Yeah.
See, it works.
That's very impressive. Nicely done, Phil.
Thank you.
Very nice.
So can you top that?
So I found that demo to be adequate, albeit a bit unuseful. For those of us that value productivity, I thought it would be cool to make a package that would take a web forms application and integrate it with MVC and make it a hybrid web forms MVC application. Because I have always felt that the new project dialog really should have been a bunch of checkboxes. So I can go, I want a little of this, I want a little of that, I want some web services, I want an MVC and web forms application. So here I'm going to go and just make a web forms application. Run it. So here's a regular old web forms app. This is what web forms 4.0 looks like. You see our URLs up there, web forms, yay. And now I'm going to...
Speaking of web forms, there's a great talk on web forms later. Was that yesterday? No, later today. After our talk.
Damien Edwards,
titled Reports of My Death Are Greatly Exaggerated. Mm-hmm. So definitely worth checking
out. He's
going to
talk about all the new features in the next version of .NET Framework that are going to be things in web forms that are going to improve, like model binding and just all bunch of great stuff.
Yeah, stuff that came from MVC.
Well, remember, it's ASP.NET underneath it all, right?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to say install package MVC to web forms, and I'm actually going to move this guy. Does anyone know what this does?
I was hoping you would.
What's this one do?
It has your face on it.
Are these the same? I'll put that one there. All right. So watch the Solution Explorer side.
By the way, we're going to speed that up by a large amount in the next version.
Now, this particular bug right here is an interesting one. Because I want to point this out, because what I'm actually doing here is using PowerShell to automate Visual Studio itself. You can actually get a hold of Visual Studio. So my package really is just a bunch of files that I add into the content folder. But at the very, very last minute, I try to unload the project, change the project GUID, and then reload the project. And I'm still learning how to do that. And I have a flaky that does it only sometimes. I'm going to undo it and then redo it.
I thought you were a real programmer.
Ooh. Control Z, Control Y, right?
You know, infinite loop and keep trying until it succeeds.
So now, let's run my application.
Nice.
There's web forms. And there's MVC. Same application. So now I've got a really good situation where I can start using routing and web forms and using MVC bits and move back and forth, and I can make applications like CodePlex, which is in fact a hybrid, both using web forms and MVC. A useful example.
Very cool.
Phil.
So I noticed that you installed that package from a local folder.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point. So Phil caught me. In my settings, I've got a Hansel NuGet server which is just, and also a local stuff test. These are just local folders. Mm-hmm. So NuGet can pull from NuGet.org, or it can pull from directories. So yes, I cheated. I pulled add MVC to WebForms from a local folder.
Yeah, it's an interesting way of doing it, but I have a better way. So it's one of the benefits of being able to use a local folder is that you can just dump a set of packages in there, point NuGet to it, and it will act like a feed. Really great for testing, as well as you can put that folder on a network share and you can share it with others. But installing NuGet over a network share is going to be slow, especially when you get a large number of packages and a large number of people hitting it. And what you'd really like is to be able to host your own OData feed. So what I'm going to do here, am I switched?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
So file, new, project, and I'm going to create an empty ASP.NET application. Not an MVC application, just the most bare-bone empty MVC application. I'm going to call it NuGet hack. And I don't mean that it is a hack. I just mean it's a
okay.
hack.
So you're making a new project.
Yep.
All right. Does it matter if it's WebForms or MVC?
I picked the wrong one. So let's try that again. New project. ASP. Oh, I want the empty one.
You want an empty project.
Empty. I want it really, really empty. ASP.NET empty web application.
Okay.
Make sure I pick the right language. So let's call that NuGet hack 2, because I learned my lesson earlier. There, that's empty. All we have is a web config.
Totally empty application.
And now, going to NuGet, I can add, add library package reference. And this is
so
where we're
starting. It's fun to watch you GUI people struggle.
I really should learn the command line, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is where we get really meta here. So I just created an empty web application. I'm going to NuGet, and I'm going to type in NuGet.server. And we have this really cool package here.
Look at the dependencies there. He's got a number of different dependencies on a bunch of open source projects.
Yep.
And so this is really, what we're trying to do is kind of excite your imagination about what is possible. Don't think of any of these particular things as best practices, but rather as like, wow, what could I accomplish?
So here I am. I'm running NuGet. I'm running an OData feed, so I can click here to view packages. I don't have any yet, so let's go drop one in there. Got a little something. Something for you.
So hang on. So slow down 1 second here. I want to understand what just happened. You took an empty application and basically brought down an entire kind of sub-module of an application to be a NuGet server. So I could have an existing app and throw a NuGet server in it, or I could take an empty one and throw a NuGet server in it.
That's right.
And you're making a NuGet-compliant service.
Yes. Okay. So I can now, I've made this available to you.
Okay. Now, is this the same as NuGet.org?
Good point. This is not the same as NuGet.org. So one thing I do want to call out real quick is this is a real lightweight, what I call a read-only feed. So the way that you publish packages to this one is you go into the project, there will be a packages folder, and you just paste it in there.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
And
now
any package that shows up there shows up in the feed?
That's right.
Okay, so I've got three choices. Put it on NuGet, put it in a local share,
mm-hmm.
run a tiny server.
Mm-hmm.
I could probably write my own or extend yours.
Yep. In fact, you have a fourth choice, which is you can go to Orchard Gallery. If you really want the NuGet.org experience with registration, people being able to create their own accounts and publish packages with the command line, OrchardGallery.codeplex.com, that's our open source project. So NuGet.org itself is open source. Mm. So we're really big on that. And this is where when you see site issues with the site, this is where we track the bugs. All the development is done in the open. The other thing I want to point out is that with the one that we have, it's a considerably more complicated to set this up, which is why we have this really lightweight one. Just quick and dirty, I'll manage the packages folder. We don't have a command line way of pushing to the NuGet.server, but now that I think about it, there's nothing stopping us from doing that. We could have a hard-coded key in webconfig and actually make that work. So if David Fowler is one of the lead devs on NuGet, so I'm hoping maybe you can implement that by the end of this talk so we can try it out.
Or, realistically, anyone here.
Oh, yeah, or why don't you do it?
And fork the code and send us a pull request, and then we can merge it in.
Yeah, so I get asked a lot, what is it that program managers do at Microsoft? And it's pretty much that. It's really hard work.
Just telling David what to do.
Yeah, can you write that? Oh, man.
Okay, you pasted a package in packages there. What is that? Is that another one I'm going to run on my side?
Yeah, just a little gift for you to try out,
Mood swings.
Mood swings, yeah.
Okay. So let's switch over to here. And Phil brings up a really good point, because you see that I've got the official package source. I've got some local ones, the one that I did in my talk yesterday. I can use like the hacked adequate server. I don't know how to spell adequate. It would have been funny if I could have spelled adequate, but it's not. So then he's got that server running here, right?
And click add.
So I'll hit add, and I'll just move that up to make it the first one.
Okay.
Okay? And then let's find out what he has got for me. So install. Oh, and what I'll do is I can actually also do this. Now, there's the order in which they are matter, right? So if it finds a package in the first one, then that'll be the one it'll use.
When you have the all nodes selected.
Or I could select a particular one like this.
Yep.
I think you called it mood swings.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is coming from your NuGet server that you just built.
Yep.
Okay. So nothing changed on the solution. So what do I do to use your tool here?
So this what I wrote this for was I often give a lot of presentations and I'm always going hunting for settings to change my font size, and I thought, you know, or if I'm in a coding mood, I want a dark background. So I added this command called set-mood. So
okay.
Yeah, if you can show, there you go.
So
now try
set-mood
coding.
Coding. Okay, cool. So you've automated Visual Studio and then set the mood of Visual Studio, changing the fonts and the background color.
Yeah.
So how do I get it back the way I like it?
Default.
Default.
And you try presentation.
I like it bigger. I always run. I'm always presenting, so presentation.
And I have one called insane as well.
Oh, insane.
Yeah.
I knew there would be a trick. I knew that there'd be, yeah, see, thank
yeah.
you. So that really shows the power of NuGet. NuGet actually getting a server for itself, automating Visual Studio, full power of PowerShell. With this, you can do pretty much anything. I was poking around actually in the source code of this earlier and noticed another mood that one could potentially be in. Can I get some sound there, brother, in the back?